This is With Intrepid Heart Sermons, sermons preached by Reverend Adam Moline at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. You can find our website at goodshepherdlincoln.org, and the texts for our sermons each week follow the historic one-year lectionary. Let's listen in to today's sermon. In the name of Jesus, amen. Our text is the Old Testament lesson. You may be seated. Who is Jesus? Who is he? That's the question that the season of Epiphany in the church year seeks to answer. This entire season is all about who Jesus is. That's what the word Epiphany means, to reveal, to shine forth, to let the truth be known. Without a doubt, Epiphany proclaims Jesus' identity so that we might know who he is and act accordingly in our lives. We want to know who Jesus is, who God is. So too does Moses in our Old Testament lesson for today. He wants to know who God is, to see God in God's fullness. Moses is in the midst of leading the people of Israel out of slavery in Egypt towards a promised land. Immediately before today's Old Testament lesson, Moses has spent 40 days up on Mount Sinai, receiving God's word directly from God's mouth. And now, God has come down from Mount Sinai, and God dwells in the newly built tabernacle. And therein, God speaks to Moses in the midst of the people. And right before our Old Testament lesson, the scripture says that God spoke to Moses as friends talk to friends. And so, that brings us to our Old Testament lesson. The very first meeting of God and Moses in the tabernacle that is recorded for us. And God says it's time to move, to continue towards the promised land. And Moses wants assurance that as they move, as they leave Mount Sinai, that God will go with them. Moses says this, "If I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight." Moses is saying, "Reveal yourself to me. Show me who you are. Epiphany yourself to me." And God responds this way, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." These are very, very important words. They are the first words God says to Moses from the tabernacle, where he now dwells in the midst of his people. And they're also the same words that God speaks to David when David was gathering the materials for his son Solomon to build the temple in Jerusalem, where God would dwell in the midst of his people. And they're also the words of God from Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. When Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Every time God comes into the midst of his people and speaks to them there, he says that he will give them rest. He promises to be with them. Moses understands that this is what God is saying. That the God who dwells in their midst gives them rest. And so Moses confesses this truth in his response back to God. Isn't this what makes us, the people of Israel, distinct from all others, Moses says, that you are going with us? Moses realizes what makes the people of Israel special. What sets them apart from all the other peoples of the world as holy. The only difference is this: God is present among them. That God is with his people. That God unites them as this one people in his presence. What is it that makes the people of Israel special? It's not that they were descended from Abraham genetically. Jesus says, I could raise children of Abraham from stones. It wasn't that they lived in Palestine, what we call the Holy Land. It wasn't that they were made to grow beards or that they couldn't eat bacon. What set them apart from all the other people in the world was that God was present with them. And as long as God was with them, they were distinct and special. But if God were to leave them, Moses knows that that holiness, that distinction would leave as well. So Moses wants to know if God will stay with them. Dear friends in Christ, that distinction is still true today for us. We are, as Christians, distinct from all the other people of the world. How? The thing that sets us apart from them, from the rest of the world, is that God is present among us. That God is with us. In fact, we see God way more clearly than Moses ever did, because we see Jesus. We see who God is as he saves us from our sins. We just celebrated that fact a few weeks ago at Christmas. God became man and dwelt among us. Jesus' name is Emmanuel, God with us. We see this truth again in about 8-9 weeks when we celebrate Good Friday. God with us bleeds and dies to forgive all of our sins. God sheds his blood for us. Jesus is God in the flesh, and he has made his home among us. And because that's true, we are distinct. We are holy. We are set apart from all the rest of the world. We are a part of the nation of God, first and foremost. And that nation is the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, God was present with the people of Israel as they wandered in the wilderness, as they went through Moab and Edom, as they established themselves in the midst of foreign peoples. God was with his people as Israel became a nation as we kind of see it, surrounded by the Philistines, the Amalekites, the Assyrians, and others. Just like we, as Christians, are surrounded by others who have different beliefs, different practices, but who God is not present among. These other nations that surrounded the people of Israel constantly tempted the Israelites to abandon God, to worship other gods, the gods of this world, money, wealth, land, and power. Some of these surrounding nations in which the Israelites lived practiced things like child sacrifice. They built enormous monuments honoring themselves, some of which still stand even to this day. They worshiped gods that committed lewd acts, which they themselves emulated. And sadly, through the years, the people of Israel slowly, apathetically, drifted away from the one true God. They abandoned him to worship all of these other gods who to human eyes looked powerful and amazing. And when they abandoned God, they lost their distinctness. They lost their holiness. And so, what will God's people do today? What will you do? That same conflict of God being with his people, while the people are constantly being tempted to stray, has been going on for millennia. And we are not immune to it. We face those same temptations. We see those same lewd gods, perhaps not claimed to be gods today, but working the exact same way. We practice the same sacrifices as those pagans of old. The nations of our world, the world in which we live, tempt us to support child sacrifice, just as those pagans did of old. No, we don't worship imaginary gods. We don't sacrifice children to imaginary gods that live on a higher plane. Instead, we sacrifice these children to the God of self. Our own nation allows children to be aborted, sacrificed to the God of bodily autonomy, to the God of sexual freedom, doesn't it? Our own nation has fewer and fewer children being born with Down syndrome or other handicaps. Why? Because they've been sacrificed by abortion to the God of leisure and the God of ease. We have said amongst people in our own land, in our own city, that it's better to sacrifice a child than to let them grow up in poverty. As if we have seen their whole life based on the status of their family. Many of these sacrifices are justified among us by taking God's own word and twisting it and applying it to something completely independent of what God had designed it. Have you heard people say, "This is my body. Keep your hands off it." The same words Christ says in the Lord's Supper. It is not by accident that the gods of our age have twisted those thoughts. And don't think that we're small child sacrificers here. We are not. The ancients may have sacrificed a few dozen children every year, but we take it to a whole nother level. I just had my birthday this last week. The year in which I was conceived, 1/3 of all the children conceived were sacrificed in abortion. Since 1972, 63 million child sacrifices in abortion have happened in our land. And we stand teeter-tottering on a precipice as our land seeks to decide what to do for the coming generation, desiring you to abandon God. It's not just child sacrifices that go on in our land. We also have gods in our country that wish to put the elderly to sleep, as you might do to your pet. To sacrifice our elderly to the god of quality of life. In 10 states in the United States, assisted suicide is legal. After all, who wants to suffer or watch someone suffer? And so our nation tells us we ought to have the right to die, to steal God's great gift of life and to destroy it at our own whim and will. Our land has even decided that life is something that we can take and manipulate and change and adapt however we see fit, taking parts of these sacrificed children and keeping them alive perpetually in petri dishes, sacrificing them to the god of medical testing. Lord, have mercy upon us. Do not think that the United States does not fall into the nations of the world who are opposed to God. The United States is not immune to the wickedness of our day. The things which I have spoken of are legal here, now, today. Which will you trust? The God who is present, or the words of a sinful nation of this fallen, broken world? For all the nations that surround us, in which we live, are full of sin and wickedness, and all of them will be destroyed by fire on the last day. There is only one nation, one kingdom, which will stand forever. There is only one nation that is distinct from all the others on earth, the one in which God is present. The nation of the church, a kingdom that is not of this world and can never be, for it is holy and pure and righteous. Christ begs you to join the nation of the church, to be true to that eternal fatherland, heaven being your home, forsaking all the other nations and political ideologies that exist. He begs you to abandon your allegiance to the sinful worldly nations, and instead to trust in Him and in Him alone. He desires you to be in the true church, the church in which He Himself is present, in which He Himself forgives you all of your sins daily and generously, in which He Himself grants you an eternal citizenship, where He will provide for you, world without end. He calls you to be faithful to Him, even now as you live in the midst of people of a different ideology, of a different national confession that is opposed to God and His Word. He calls you to be a Christian. First and foremost, that's who you are in the waters of holy baptism, a Christian. That is your true citizenship, a Christian washed in the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ, shed for you on the cross. You belong to the church in which you participate bodily in the eating and drinking of Jesus Christ for your forgiveness. You belong to the church, and so Jesus is with you while you're here and while you're outside our walls. You belong to the church and now are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, because He is with you, forgiving your sins and granting you life to the full. He has called you out of the darkness of all the nations of our world and into His marvelous light. Out of the darkness, out of the world. He's done this by what He's accomplished on His cross. The blood of Jesus covers you. It marks you. It claims you, so that you no longer belong to the sins of our day. Jesus said this, "You will be hated by all nations for my name's sake." All nations, even at times our own nation, that despises God's gift of life. That's okay, because you are set apart from the world. You are distinct in your identity because God, Jesus, is with you. You don't belong to the nations of the world because Jesus is with you. Just as Moses understood, so too do you. And because these things are true, you stand for what Jesus stands for: life, eternal life, life to the full, God's greatest gift to you, life eternal. It's not always easy, but it's who we are. And we will not forsake or abandon what God has done for us. Who is Jesus? He's your King who gives you eternal life. In the name of Jesus, amen.
That concludes today's sermon from Pastor Adam Moline. For more information about the Lutheran faith, check out our church website, goodshepherdlincoln.org. The title of this podcast, With Intrepid Heart, comes from the conclusion to the Book of Concord, where it is written, "This is our faith, doctrine, and confession, in which we also are willing, by God's grace, to appear with intrepid hearts before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of it." God's blessings on your day.